Blog Talk Radio.
I'll start drooling. So Well, while we're waiting for Crystal, and I know what's going on, I bet you, you know, like I write down the phone number to call. I'm just going to look at the phone a second. You know, I'm going to, let me just play a song, play this for you guys. The Isaac.
Burst into tears. The doctor just confirmed her fears. Her husband held it in and held her tight. Cancer don't discriminate or care if you're just 38, with three kids who need you in their lives. He said, I know that you're afraid, and I am too, but you'll never be alone, I promise you. When you're weak, I'll be strong. When you let go, I'll hold on. They caught it just in time, but they had to take more than they planned. Now it's four smiles and baggy shirts to hide what the cancer took from her. And she just wants to feel like a woman again. She said, I don't think I can do this anymore. Took her in his arms and said, that's what my love is for. When you're weak, I'll be strong. When you let go, I'll hold on. And when you need to cry, swear that I'll be there to dry your eyes. When you feel lost and scared to death, like you can't take one more step.
Of it, but she's the one, I guess, who made it famous. Later on, I'll play the original one by the Isaacs. Okay, in the meantime, okay, I don't know. I had, I guess I might have had Crystal Field on, and she just didn't hang on here, too. Okay, hopefully she'll call back in. I did give instructions to, you know, that, all right. Anyhow, let's see what's doing. Well, this week, I'm going to be interviewing Pete Fang, who's the owner of Peking Opera Company. I'll be talking with her. I'm probably not doing a radio show. I'll be interviewing her in downtown Flushing, where I will be able to get really true. Okay, I'm gonna. I don't know what's happening here. Why did they call me? They can't. I'm gonna throw something on. Let's throw a piece of music, and then I'll answer that phone. Hang on, guys.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
Here we are. Okay. Crystal.
Yes.
You're on the air now.
Oh, how wonderful. Great.
So tell me about this Teach to Write or Write to Teach.
Well, it's a full musical with a 50-member company. We go to all five boroughs, and very, very much we like Queens. We go to Traverse Park in Queens, and it's a musical. We have a live band, a five-piece band with a composer at the keyboards, and 30 actors. It's the story of a young man who is at risk, and his struggle to go to high school. But of course, he has adventures in the city. I don't want to tell you all of them, but he wants to, you know, have a part-time job, and he decides that he's going to go to 42nd Street and take pictures with tourists and earn money at the same time. So he uses a costume that he had in his last play, which was Elmo. And then what happens to him? He meets Mickey and Donald, and things happen, and there are scenes in McDonald's, and eventually there's a whole dream sequence. And, of course, he meets the king of the hustlers of New York City, who is fighting the development, you know, the developers and the gas frackers, and who want to take over the city. And adventures occur. There are eight songs.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful props and big surprises. And, of course, we do have a happy ending, because we always have happy endings to our musicals.
Okay.
It's a new musical.
I just curious, when you say he meets the characters he meets, he's meeting, like, we're talking about the characters that right now are in Times Square that
yes,
walking around time.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And there are very funny things that happen. He gets into a fight about whose corner it is, but they're all in costume. So Mickey and Donald, you know, have a big fight. And it's pretty incredible. It's a pretty incredible musical.
So do you write all the, do you do all the writing
and directing?
I write the
book,
and
I write the lyrics, but I don't write the music. And the music's wonderful. The music is written by Joseph Vernon Banks, who's been my musical composer for about 7 or 8 years. Before that, there was a gentleman who was with me for 11 years, and he ended up on Broadway, actually. He wrote Pump Boys and Dinettes and Oil City Symphony. And he was very influenced by the street theater. So, however, he passed away from AIDS. And so Joseph Vernon Banks has been with me for all those years since. And he's a brilliant, brilliant composer and teacher of music. And he also works in the public schools as
mm-hmm.
well.
So is this, like, how many of these have you... written?
The first one that I wrote was 1976, Mama Liberty's Bicentennial Party. That was the first musical that I wrote.
Was that also like a theater in the street type of thing?
Yes, they've all been.
Okay.
I've only written two indoor plays, and they were plays, not musicals. But otherwise, every year I write a new musical. And every year we have a 2-week workshop, and then we have 2 weeks off, and then we have 3 weeks of rehearsal. And I have 5 designers working on this, 2 stage managers, 3 assistant directors, 30 actors, a crew of 10. So it's a big production. We often have puppets, we have masks. We use masks, puppets, a trapdoor. It's pretty involved.
So this is it under a tent, or how do they do this?
No, we bring along our own stage, which it's been designed, and gets set up right on the spot. The crew gets there at 9:30 in the morning. The actors get there at 1:15 for a 2 o'clock show. We perform at 2, but all that time before they are setting up, and we also use something called a cranky, but it's 9 feet high by 12 feet wide, and it has 10 painted pictures on it. The designer who is in charge of that is actually a member of the Scenic Painters Union. She's brilliant, but she has 2 helpers, and she has 90 feet of muslin to paint, and we have 10 different pictures. And we have another designer who designs the flats, and the flats are large, 9 by 7 or 8 or 9 by 4. 2 of them will come on at once, and there'll be a scene in front of them, and then they open, and there'll be a new picture on the cranky for the next scene. And then that scene gets covered by another set of flats, which have other pictures on them. And when they open, we have another scene on the cranky. So you have 10 scenes on the cranky and numerous flats. We go from a high school fair, the second high school fair, because it's all about this young man who wants to go to high school and his adventures. It's inspired by my granddaughter, who is going to go to high school in the fall. So I was inspired by her struggles. And she had to go to the second. She didn't make the first cut, and she made the second cut. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to a high school fair. They're pretty wild. You know, it's Queens upstairs, Bronx downstairs, Manhattan straight ahead and upstairs, and to the left, to the right, and there are thousands of students that are going in there, all wanting desperately and hopefully to get a seat in a high school, in a city high
Just
school.
Just a regular city high school?
Yeah, let me tell you something. You can't get seats in kindergarten these days. They're fighting for seats in kindergarten, and all the way up, it gets harder and harder. It's not just college; it starts way down at the beginning. They're fighting for seats in kindergarten, and they're fighting all the way up, and including high school. Yeah, wasn't like that in my day. In my day, you just went. You went to kindergarten, you went through the grades, you went to high school.
Okay, well, you had a tryout. If you wanted a special high school,
yeah, special
then you tried out, yeah.
That's right. But no, they have interviews for all the high schools. It's incredible. Anyway, she got in.
Yep.
She was trying for a specialty school, so that made it even harder for her. But, however,
which one? I'm curious.
Well, she wanted to go to LaGuardia, of course.
Oh, okay.
Well, I tried for LaGuardia, you know, many years ago, and I didn't get in. Then I went to music and art, which I did get into. And
that's where I went. That's what I got into.
Did you go to music and art?
Well, I went. I was lied to. I have to tell you, I was lied to. I was told that I couldn't try out for both music and art and performing arts, that I choose one or the other.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's true or not, because I
But it wasn't
tried.
True.
Oh.
It wasn't true.
Oh.
And because I had to make my parents happy,
yeah,
I tried out for music and art.
So what did you try, art or music?
Music.
Ah.
And I made it, and I went, and I lasted there for 2 weeks and said, oh, God, I got to get out of here.
Really? I loved it. Oh, I loved it.
Well, the problem was, and by the way, I graduated high school when I was 16.
Oh, so. You were very young.
So
you
I was like
young.
All of what, 11 and a half when
yeah,
I wanted
you're
to
too
go
young.
To the high school. But it wasn't that. I guess this concept in my head, I'd be playing the piano all day long. But
oh no, you wouldn't.
The
be.
Thing, but the whatever the things they gave me it was like I didn't like anything that I was given at all.
Yeah, probably you didn't like the instrument you were given.
And even the instrument, because they said to me, you have a choice of brass or percussion.
Yeah, I had
them,
a choice of voice or violin.
So they said, okay, wait, and they used the word choice. So I said, I'll take percussion. And they turned around and said, oh, well, we're not teaching percussion this semester. Why did you just say that then? And then I said, okay. And they said, you have to take brass. I said, fine, I'd like to play the trumpet. And they turned around and said, no, you're going to play the French horn.
Oh,
so I looked
God.
At this thing and I said, what was the choice?
I know,
What was choice? So it just got one after the other of classes I was getting. And I said, this is totally ridiculous. There's really no point in my being here. So I went to the high school in my neighborhood, played the oboe for 3 years.
Well, that's
sang
funny because...
and acted.
Oh, yes, right. Well, I went to Bryant. I lived in Queens. I went to Bryant for 1 year. I loved it. It was what my father taught in Bryant, actually.
He
taught French. Yeah, French, Italian, and Spanish. But, I mean, I loved it, but I wanted to go to a specialty school. I didn't get into LaGuardia, so I tried for music and art. And, of course, they give you this ear test and chord comprehension, and you pass those, you get in. It's not that way anymore, but in those days, if you had what they call natural a talent, they had to take you. So I ended up playing, you know, I brought a clarinet with me that had no bell, that had no bottom, and I started squeaking, you know, so the guy says to me, look, can you play something else? So he didn't even hear me play the clarinet. I said, yeah, I can play the piano. So I played the piano. He said, that sounds very nice. What's that? I said, it's a Chopin etude. So he comes over to the piano and he looks at the music and he says, this is simplified. We do not play simplified music in this school, you know. Okay, so he said, so what do you want to, you know, what's your major? I said, well, I always want to play the oboe. He said, no oboe. You have a choice of voice or violin. So I said, well, voice. So I went down and I sang, you know, the Star Spangled Banner. They had to take me in. I was a terrible voice student, but I had a great time in that school, and I learned an awful lot. I learned a lot. Musically, I learned a lot, and, you know, it stood me in good stead for now, because when I direct a musical, you have to be able to read music. You've got to be able to understand what when you're talking to a composer. And if you're going to do choreography, you know, these choreographers, they come in and they say, well, I want 16 beats, you know, and the composer will say, or the musical director will say, there's no such thing as 16, you can't have 16 beats, you know, you could... And but I can say to them, you know, listen, this measure is going to have two beats, not four. You know, this one's going to have six, and that's the way I want it. And otherwise, it's 4-4. And you have to be able to talk, you know, to them. So that really has been a tremendous help to me, and tremendous when it comes to, you know, dealing with a musical director or even the actors that are going to sing. Because you can speak their language and you know what you're talking about. And, you know, a lot of people, they have the right ideas, but they can't communicate. So I am very happy that I went to music and art. Of course, I didn't get into LaGuardia because I had learned a long poem. And when I went to them, they said, no, you can't say a poem. So I had a monologue, but I didn't like it. So I just said, well, I'm not gonna do either. And of course I didn't get in. So that's how that happened. But anyway, I'm glad I went to music and art, and now they're both one school. So, you know. But anyway. Yeah. Those are the exigencies of trying to get into a high school. Now,
Those days,
if you wanted a specialty school, it was difficult. But now it's difficult for any of them, any of the schools. You're just, you know, there's too many of us or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't want to put my opinion out on that.
Well, they've lowered, you know, they have definitely taken away the budgets for the public schools. And now I'm not talking about high school, I'm talking about junior high and public schools. They've axed the after-school programs, they've axed the athletic programs. I took lessons on the clarinet for 25 cents a lesson after school. That's how I learned to play the clarinet. He might not have been the best teacher in the world, but he taught me to play the clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, you know, and there were other, lots of other after-school activities that you could do. They're all gone. The art and music has been just bludgeoned. It's really sad. And all of that is addressed in this musical, but I don't like people to think that it's just one of those proselytizing musicals, you know. It's really full of very, very madcap humor and crazy moments and lots of music, and people love it. People of all ages. Now we've played two performances and we've gotten wonderful feedback.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, so, and we've played at Traverse Park, you know, other years. And we've always had really good audiences. It's a wonderful neighborhood. It's a very diverse neighborhood. And many different ethnic groups come to the shows, and they've always loved them. Always loved
now,
the show.
Now, this is a bring-your-own-chair kind of thing?
No, we have 50 milk crates. You can sit on a milk crate, and you can bring your own chair.
Oh, okay.
But we do have 50 milk crates. And people sit on them.
Oh, cool.
The show is an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, or without an intermission?
No intermission. No.
Oh, I call it intermission. Because that's what you do.
Oh,
during intermission, you go and pish. So I call it intermission now.
Right. No, this is 1 hour with no intermission.
Okay.
But there is a, you know, there's a bathroom from the park right there,
mm-hmm.
if anyone needs it. So
mm-hmm.
it's within the block. So
just, you find more than more adults or children that come to these things?
Well, we have a lot of young people. A lot of kids come. But that's because, it depends. When we play Coney Island at night, we have mostly adults. We'll have 1,500 people there. If we play a park, a playground, which is what we're playing at Traverse Park, then we'll have mostly kids. But their parents come, you know. But I would say mostly kids.
What time is the show?
It's at 2 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And it's, I'm looking now. It's the 30th of August,
which is a
Sunday. It's Sunday, the 30th of August, and in Traverse Park, 34th Avenue between 77th and 78th Streets. And there's usually a farmer's market at the same time.
Oh,
so we really
is that where the farmer's market is?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's a great afternoon, you know. You can go shopping in the farmer's market.
I have a commercial on here for Ronnybrook Farms.
Oh, I love them.
And yes, I wrote their commercial. I love them so much that I had to write their commercial.
Well, they're really good, though.
And I'm a milkaholic.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like, it's got to take, to me, I mean, you know, like milk, as soon as it starts to turn, I could taste it. People say,
of course,
okay to me.
No, I know. No. I know that.
Not perfect.
It's true.
Yeah.
But you know, sour milk is very good for making pancakes, in case you're interested.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it's very good for pancakes, but that's about it. But okay. Roniebrook is wonderful. It doesn't have any of those hormones in it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or anything.
Well, it's not really homogenized.
It is homogenized.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not homogenized. Really?
No, it's pasteurized,
but it's
not homogenized.
Right.
Which is why you can get the cream on the top.
Right.
Yeah, that's why
right.
I like it, because it's,
right.
you know,
wonderful.
The old-fashioned kind, you know.
Right.
But they also, I like, I don't know if you've tried, I mean, I've tried the ice cream, the yogurts, the, you know, the butter, the
everything. I've had their butter, I've had their yogurt. I've never had ice cream by Roniebrook.
Mm.
I didn't know they made ice cream.
Yes, they do.
I don't think they much sell it, though. Do they
in
the stores in New York? Really, I'm going to look for it.
The only place, because when I was hunting for it, you could get it either through Fresh Direct.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I think Peapod has some. Other than that, I've been trying, because I'm talking with them, I want to find out, other than if I'm, you know, getting it from the market, is there a store that I could pick it up as opposed to the delivery?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen. I have seen their milk and their yogurt in stores. Definitely.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't
seen
their ice cream.
Oh, okay. That's
I've never seen.
If you're at when you're there that day, don't. You tell them, you know, like, put it on the side. Well, they think
I love that brand. You know, that brand is from upstate New York.
Yeah.
And I have a trailer upstate in the woods. That's where I write the street theater. I didn't have a phone up there I only got a phone up there 2 years ago because I have to have absolute quiet and when I'm writing, because I'm writing under deadline. I only have 2 weeks to get this thing written. I work on it all year,
mm-hmm.
but when I really have 2 weeks to get it in shape, and I have to come back to a 3-week rehearsal with a finished script. So I'm writing under deadline. So I'm in this little trailer in the woods. I don't see anybody. I don't go anywhere. I go swimming sometimes in the local creek. That's it. Otherwise, I eat, I write. I sleep, I write. I eat. That's how I do it. But it comes out really good. And at the end of that time, I have a script. So with 8 songs. And I've always been very pleased with it, but I can't do it. I can't do it at the theater. I have to get out. I have to be left alone. You know.
Yeah. No, I can understand. I don't find as that bad when it comes to when I have to write articles and I sit there and I go.
It's one page or 2 pages.
Yeah.
But here we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, when you're talking.
Hour.
Yes, I know. I did. One time I wrote a book one day, and I said, all right, I got to get this book done.
Right.
And it's, you know.
I got to get out of here.
I got to get it done. I got to think. All
right.
It's difficult.
By the way,
what I wound up doing, you know, even though I went to, you know, the whole thing with the piano thing. What
uh-huh.
I did wind up doing is going as a show business as a comedian and singer.
That's great.
That's what I wound up doing.
Yeah, well, if they would have given you the choice of
they
voice,
they gave me the choice, then I would have.
Yeah,
you know, it was one. You know,
they didn't give me a choice either.
But
so.
You're taking piano lessons. Why don't you go to high school music or not? Why don't you to be a concert? It was like, oh God, when I got into high school, right after the first year, I joined a repertory group, and we plays for the next 3 years, you know, kind
right.
of thing, you know, which
right.
is what that was.
That's what you wanted to do.
That was what I really wanted to do. I'm going piano. Oh, that's nice. I can play the piano. Oh, who really wants to hear me play the piano, you know. And the first thing I did, because they had a talent show, and I said, when I played the piano, and I went, no one really wants this. And I got together with a couple of guys in the neighborhood and did this absolutely hysterical thing. And that did it. And I said, I'm doing comedy, that's it. The heck with everything else.
Right. Well, I did one piece with the piano. I didn't play. The guy played the piano, but during the piece, the piano fell completely apart, and then I fell in headfirst into the inside of the piano.
Oh, my God.
So those were my younger days, my salad days. I can't do anything like that anymore. But I have actors who can, and they do. There's crazy stuff going on in the street theater with you know, flips and things like that.
Sure.
It's really fun, but my days are gone, long gone, when I could do anything like that.
But yeah,
anyway.
Mine too. I keep telling, I got one guy that keeps, on the Facebook, he keeps saying to me, please do another show. If you do one, I'll be there. And I keep going, my career ended about 20 years ago. I have no intention of doing my stand-up comedy or sit-down either, you know.
Right,
it's over.
But
you have
a radio show.
Well, I have a radio show, so I can say whatever I want.
So that's
wonderful. And I could be as funny as I want or not funny. Yeah,
right.
So I still have that, you know. But that's okay. And then I get to do some humor, like in my writing, too. Especially if I want to be sarcastic, you know.
Right, right.
But,
well.
But I have to tell you, what was the funny thing is that I'm winding up with the radio, and of all of the things that I tried out, the last thing I ever wanted to do was radio, because I thought to myself, you know, because I tried it one time, and I went, when I did it, I thought, you know, I'm doing a scene from The Wizard of Oz. It really doesn't work on the radio.
No, radio has to
you
be
have
radio.
To see it.
Has to be
then
radio.
I went, this doesn't work. So I said, okay, no radio. Okay, and then that's what I wound up doing. But that's okay.
Well,
I just don't
I know
do scenes.
When I was growing up, we did radio shows. We just did them without being on the radio. Because we had recorders, you know, so we do shows. So I kind of learned, you know, and that was fun. That was really fun. And then my cousin did movies, and that's how I got into movies. Just by doing them, you know. I mean, home movies, but not home movies. We made up stories and we acted them out. So, you know, when it came time for me to audition for a movie, I wasn't a problem. You know, those things, that's why your junior high school years and your high school years are really more important than people think they are.
What I haven't figured out, and maybe you could tell me, what's the difference between junior high school and middle school?
None. Junior high school is middle school.
They
that
just changed the name?
They changed the name. Yeah.
Okay.
Middle school and junior high school is the same. I don't know exactly what the years are now, but it used to be 7th through 9th.
Yeah.
It was 7th grade through 9th grade.
Right.
Was
and 9th grade
school.
Was really your
really
first
high
year
school.
Of high school.
Yeah, but if you went to middle school, you didn't go to high school. You went to high school in your second year. So you were a sophomore.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. But I didn't do that. I went through public school through 8th grade, and then I went to high school. You could do that, or you could go to middle school or junior high school,
which is
7th through 9th. So a lot of kids went from 8th grade to junior high for 1 year, and then they went to high school. I didn't do that. I went through 8th, and then I went to first year high school, but in those days, lots of kids did that, so I don't know what they do now, but I know that's what junior high is, 7th through 9. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I myself had a very rough time in grammar school. That's another word. Grammar school.
Grammar.
Is public school. It's the same thing.
Right.
Grammar school and public school, same thing. I had a very rough time, and I had a wonderful time in high school. I loved Bryant High School. It was a great school. I mean, in those days, there were three. You could either go to academic, business, or general.
Yeah,
you
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they still have that.
They don't do, yeah.
I don't know what they have now, but that's what they had.
Okay.
And I went to academic, and I had one teacher who taught algebra where the bell would ring, and we would just sit there. We didn't want to leave the class because he was so exciting. After that, I never got more than a 65. That year, I got a B+ in math. After that, I never got anything but 65. I just passed. But that year, so it was the teacher. You know, he really loved math. Anyway.
Yeah.
But there were very good teachers in Bryant. But I wanted, you know, I wanted to go to music and art. I wanted to, at that time, I wanted to be a dancer. So.
Oh.
That was a long time ago. Anyway.
Yeah, all those years.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, did any of this go live on your program?
Did it go live?
Yeah.
You
what
are
we're
live
talking
now.
About? Is it live now?
Yeah, it's live
oh,
now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great.
Yeah, and it gets archived.
Okay, well, that's very exciting. I don't know what to say to parents who want their kids to go to school, go to high school. You know, just encourage them as much as you can because high school is a new world. It's just a new, at least for me it was. When I moved from grammar school to high school, a new world opened up for me. I tell you, I had these terrible teachers in grammar school, and that I'm sure they don't have anymore. But what happened was, while I was in grammar school, in my eighth grade, a gentleman came from the public school authority, or whoever they were, and he came to the school to teach the teachers about progressive education, quote unquote. And while he was there, I became the star of the class. I wrote a puppet show, and I was playing the lead puppet. I was, you know, manipulating the lead puppet, and we made our own puppets. I mean, marionettes, and et cetera, et cetera. Everything. It was. He had people come in from India with the Brahmin mark on their foreheads to tell us about the class system in India. And, you know, he had all these wonderful things. And it was very exciting. And so then he left. And I even wrote a song to say goodbye to him.
Oh.
And when he left, the teacher came down on me so bad. She took away my puppet. I couldn't. She had somebody else do the puppet, run the puppet. And, of course, she couldn't stop the show. It had already been written. Then came the time for the valedictory, and the class voted me valedictorian. And she said to the class, "You have to be careful who you vote for, and I want you to vote again." So they voted again, and they voted me valedictorian again, in spite of the teacher. And she took it away from me anyway. She said I was doing too many things, and she, can you imagine? And one day, for no reason, absolutely no reason, she said, "Crystal, come here, I want to speak to you." So I went over to her, and she said, "You are not going to do well in high school because you are too childish." For no reason, she said this to me. Well, the minute I hit high school, Bryant, I was president of my civics class. I was everything. It was like, oh, it was a dream. So I can't tell you how important high school is now. I'm sure they don't have teachers that are that horrible anymore in public school. But, you know, they really, I was always the most popular kid in the class. I won all the popularity contests, but my teachers hated me. They hated me. Well, I guess I wore outlandish clothes. I wore all hand-me-downs that didn't fit, and my mother never altered them, so I must have looked terrible. I didn't get a new dress till I was 12 years old, and I still remember that dress, and I wore it to school, and the teacher says, "Now, Crystal, that's the way you should look all the time," as if I had any control over that, you know? I had no control over that. I wore what they gave me to wear. But I was very creative, you know, and that's the story. But the minute I hit high school, everything that they hated about me was a positive in high school.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
The thing I had always remembered about the high school I went to, the tale, that they said that the drama teacher told Anne Bancroft she'd never make it.
Oh, my God, really? Oh, my God. I tell you, a teacher has, after all, what are you there, 6-8 hours a day?
Yeah.
You know, they have real control over your life, and they have an effect on you, and the way they are with you is very, very important.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in kindergarten, all the kids were playing... All the girls were playing Sleeping Beauty. And I said, I want to play Sleeping Beauty too. You know, you just lie down and then she'd have a little boy wake you up. So I said, I want to. And the teacher said, you can't. You're too fat. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can. No, I can. No,
anyway.
And it's true that they did have an effect. I had one teacher, and you'll appreciate this. What happened is, like, I had been given an instrument. I think it was a flutophone at the time, and it was in the middle of the session, and I expected the teacher to teach it to me, and I guess I don't know why she didn't. So I figured it out myself.
Uh-huh.
And then the next year, I got the recorder, and I was still waiting for the teacher to teach it to me. And I'm going,
right.
I don't know what the story is, but I better figure this out for myself also.
Oh,
so
my God.
When I played it, I wound up playing it one song, the teacher wrote down on a piece of paper the word virtuoso and told me to bring it to my teacher from the year before and tell her she said that. And I went,
uh-huh.
Oh, okay, whatever. So what had then happened was then the next time I said, well, then I learned how to play the piano over the summer. And I basically,
uh-huh.
like, went through the first book and the first lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up. But then here was the funny part. So I go back to school, and they gave us the opportunity to take to do some special activity. So I decided, well, what should I do? I should be in the orchestra. I mean, that
uh-huh.
would be the next thing to do. And I go over to teacher standing outside the door. I said, I'd like to be in the orchestra. And she says, what instrument do you play? And my brain is going, "What? You're probably not asking the question. She probably means, what instrument do you want to play?
Uh-huh.
So I said, I want to play the clarinet, because I thought it was the next, a group thing kind of thing to play. And she says to me, well, how long have you played the clarinet? I looked at her and I said, I've never played the clarinet before. And she says to me, well, you can't play the clarinet. And my brain is going, are you for real? Do I have another teacher that doesn't want to teach me how to
right,
play an instrument?
Right,
and my brain
right.
is going, so give me a damn clarinet. I'll figure it out for myself.
Right.
And this is all going into my brain. And then I thought
right.
to myself, maybe there's something wrong with her. Wait a minute. And I said, okay, never mind, I'll play the piano.
Uh-huh.
She didn't invite me in and say, do you want to audition? She said,
right.
How long have you played, do you know how to play the piano? I said, yes. She says, how long have you played the piano? I looked at her, I said, 2 months. Certainly. I thought that certainly was long enough.
Right.
And she said to me, well, then you can't play the piano.
Oh, my God.
And I, when I stood there, I went, you know, I think she's mentally and emotionally disturbed. This woman, first of all, she didn't get the memo. Obviously, she didn't get the memo about my being a virtuoso. But
right.
Not only that, she's telling me I can't play the piano when I play the piano. So
right.
There's something wrong with her.
Oh, my God.
You know, so I went, all right, the heck with it. I went into Glee Club instead. But it's funny
right.
how, in terms of teachers, somebody
yes,
else would have been, you know, feeling, you know.
Devastated.
And me, I thought the woman was nuts.
Right.
But
well,
you
know, when that happened to me, my mother did not stick up for me. My mother was a doctor, and she just said, you're on your own, you know. You go to school, I'm not coming in. She came in once, and she said, I remember she saw one teacher, her name was Mrs. Dropmgool, and she said, that woman has liquor on her breath. And that was it for my mother. So I was on my own with these teachers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I couldn't fight. But yeah, like, you know, some of us, it doesn't matter what you do to us. We always find a way, you know.
Yep.
We find some
we
way.
So I'm going to have to end the show. And
okay.
So I'll be writing up the article and
okay.
to let people know where to see the show. And,
oh, yes. They'll have a very good time.
I'm sure
really
it sounds
a lot
like
of fun. All right. Well, take care. It was great talking to you.
Yes, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, really.
Okay, Crystal. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye
okay.
for now. Bye.
Bye. Yes. Well, I played... Let me see if I can find this. Before I end the show, I just want a little bit of this. Because I'm not sure I see... I recorded it twice. Let's see. Here's the other... I'm going to love you through it. Let me just see if this one is... this is the one by the Isaac.
She dropped the phone and burst into tears. The doctor just confirmed her fears. Her husband held it in and held her tight.
This is the original one.
Cancer don't discriminate, care if you're just 38, three kids who need you in their lives. He said, I know that you're afraid, and I am too, but you'll never be alone, I promise you. When you're awake, I'll be strong. When you let go, I'll hold on. And when you need to cry, I promise I'll be there to dry your eyes. When you feel lost and scared to death, like you can't take one more step, just take my hand, together we can do it. I'm gonna love you through it.
Okay, all right, I have to end the show right now, everybody. Have a great day, evening, or however you're listening to this, and see you next time. Here we go. Let's go. Here's a song. Ending.